Sister Jackson is already. We're back talking about rebellion and disobedience, because rebellion is against God. Any rebellion, it's not actually against man, but it's against God. So if rebellion against God, you need to know what the Word of God says. You need to know what the Word of God says, and you need to be able to be born. You need to really be born again to obey God in His fullest, and to be able to discern. I pray to God for discernment and guidance from Him in different leadings, because it's a provocation of God when you do things against His authority or whatever, but it's also seditious acts. In other words, other people around you can cause you to disobey God, cause you to be within the murmuring, the complaining crowd, which is rebellion against God. And I told you last week, I'll go into some detail about it next time, but we were in number 16 about the rebellion of Korah, and I was trying to thresh out verse 11 through 12, I think is where I might have stopped. It says, "For which cause both thou and thy company are gathered together against the Lord and against Aaron." But what is Aaron that you murmur against him? They were talking against Aaron, and Aaron didn't ask for this. He was appointed by God. If God had put a point, place you in a position or place of authority or whatever, well, if you rebel against that authority, you go against that individual or whatever, it's not against that individual that you're rebelling against. It's God that you're rebelling against. It's you transgressing Him. Breaking it down widely, like it says, honor thy parents, that your days be long, and different things that happen for disobedience to your parents. So that's the authority figure in the home, is the parents or whatever. So the rebellion is not actually against your parents or whatever. It's against God's created order. You're going against the authority of God's created order. And if the wife is not subject unto the husband, it's an order that she's usurping an authority that God had given a husband to rule over the wife, to be the head of the household. That she's not submissive to God. She's not actually the rebellion. It's not against the husband directly. It's against God. You know, it might be a manifestation against the husband, but it's against the laws of God, against God's authority, because He's the one who had placed her into submission, to subjection unto her husband. That's why it's dangerous with the feminist movement and all these other movements and things. Okay, the same thing with governments, and that's where we're having a problem at now, going against what governmental authority and governmental rule is saying is rebelling against God. So in Numbers 16 chapter, what we were looking at, Korah of the Kohathites was rebelling against Moses, and this was more or less a political of the leadership in which God had placed him, because it says all of the people are holy, which was true. God had did say that. All of the people were holy. But God hadn't chosen any of those as leaders, so they was rebelling against the authority of the leadership of Moses when they was rebelling, and God had placed him in authority of leadership over the people. You can remember the passage when Jethro came along and Moses used to rule at sit at the seat of judgment at the tabernacle, and all the people would come unto him. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, said, "Well, this is not good, Moses. You'll wear yourself out doing this or whatever. You will have to appoint elders or leaders over a group of people, and then they just bring you the harder cases or more complicated cases. But you'll wear yourself out doing these things." So governments and powers and authority are placed by God. When you rebel against that government authority, you're rebelling against God. That's why Peter said that it's better to obey God than to obey man. Because what happens when governmental authority is doing something evil or wicked, when they are doing the wrong thing, that's when you get civil disobedience. That's why I told you about when Pharaoh said that for the midwives to kill all of the Hebrew babies or whatever. You have civil disobedience. When Daniel continued to pray and the Hebrew boys didn't bow down to his statues, to the statues of Nebuchadnezzar or whatever, they wasn't considered in rebellion because it wasn't a rebellion against God's authority, against God, because they knew it would be against God for them to worship or do wickedly or do evil things against God. And when the government told them to do something that was against God, not to pray to God or to worship their statues and things, they was obeying God rather than man. So that's why we have the understanding that these was our examples and that God had given them to us. But in a household, I told you about the authority of the man. Well, if the man or the wife or something is telling those kids to do something that's not godly, that's not of God, they can not do those things. They can, some women or men, and you didn't heard of the women that had these children stealing out of the stores or whatever. If your father's not giving you godly advice, if he tells you to do something against the things of God, then that's where he's provoking his children to anger, or provocation comes in, because God had placed something in that child or whatever to obey God. Now, like I say, this is a fine line. That's why you get a lot of rebellion, because people not understanding the nuances of these conditions or whatever. And it's other people around you with evil surmising and sedition, which I'm trying to open up to get to, that we'll see it was sedition among the people that helped them also to rebel against God, to rebel against God through Moses. Because after God destroyed Korah and Dathan and all that pertained to him, the earth swallowed them up. That was the political uprising against God's authority through Moses of his leadership. But we're going to see where these other people that rebelled and was going after Moses, it was a religious sect. It was the religious people. More died during that time than the time when Korah died. I'm giving you a whole lot at one time. But I was telling you about the parents or the wife not obeying the husband, because he said be in submission to one another or whatever, because you have some ungodly men that are not good leaders. Just you remember Nabal, and Abigail didn't, she had to sneak and do it or whatever, but she honored David because David was of God or whatever. So your wife, even though she may not be submissive to you, and that's what a feminist movement or whatever may be right in some of these things. That's where in Afghanistan, where they're coming in against the women and things, which in certain areas of things, this is not right, and God has to come in and judge or work with this. And so it's not actually a rebellion. It's not sedition. It's people standing up, or the Spirit of God's raising this up for people that unjust things are going on. God works through people. And so I say, if you provoke your children or your children fall out with you, well, maybe you need to check yourself, the way you talk to them, the way you handle them, especially as they become teenagers and older children or whatever. You can't just boss or order them around the way you used to do when they was children at another time, because you remember I told you, Korah's children wrote some of the Psalms. The sons of Korah wrote some of the Psalms. They wasn't destroyed along with Korah, because you could have an evil father, an evil mother, and the sins of the father is not attached to the sins of the sons. Each man has to stand before God for himself or whatever. This is not corporate punishment. The punishment may end up corporately, but it's the accountability of it to God is individually. And that's why it's danger in a crowd. And I say, come out from among these crowds and be not among a crowd or whatever. Listen, that Jeff Sessions quoted this. He was under leadership of our last president, but when he quoted this and his church had told him he really was out of line in what he was doing or whatever, because that's what I was trying to tell you. The problem is in the churches, because there are a lot of knowledgeable people and antichrists of people in the church in the last days. The reason Christ said he was going to fight against the church, they know a little bit of the scripture, they go to church, they may be tired of going in the church and following God or whatever, but they're not converted, they're not following God. So just because you name the name of Christian or whatever, that doesn't mean you're right or you're a follower of God. You could be a false professor or whatever. So we see this Jeff Session, him and the guy he used to follow, he fell out with him, and the guy wouldn't even let him get elected to office. He was one of the first ones to endorse Trump for president or whatever, but then Trump turned on him and fired him, and he went on and resigned, I think. But then he was running for office, and Trump endorsed the other man and cut this guy down. See, because you can't trust men, your loyalty can't be to men, because men change. Brothers and sisters change. Cain killed Abel. So we have to really, and he quoted this scripture. He says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisted the power, resisted the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. That's why I was telling you it's very dangerous when these church leaders and people are going against the different governors that are trying to protect the people of their state or whatever. They have that authority, and some of the legislators or some of the wicked people trying to get around this to usurp that power authority so this won't be done. It's a political action, but it's demonic spirits behind this. It's religious spirits and things. We have a pastor here, a charismatic Pentecostal preacher here, that has been going against John Bell Edwards, and they was disrupting the Betsy Board meeting about mass mandates and things the other day. They're not looking at this scripture about going, because that's not a wicked or evil thing that Edwards is doing. So instead, he's causing his congregation to fall under this realm to be destroyed, because they're coming up against the powers that be. As most churches and most jobs and all of the places that employer and everything, since the FDA approved this vaccination, now it's being mandated. So we will see if it's faith or money or whatever where you stand in, because you could lose your job. You can lose going into some stores or some medical facilities or whatever. We can see how much you own this. It's like the people that was under the vow to kill Paul. They say they wasn't going to eat or drink until they bound themselves on the oath till they killed Paul. Well, they never did kill Paul. I wonder, did they ever go back to eating and drinking? So you have to watch what side you're on. Sooner or later, the other day, they wanted to go against Trump or whatever, because Trump told them all, you need to get the shot. You need to get vaccinated. He said, I've been vaccinated. So let me continue on in Romans here. It says, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Now what about the governor, Abbott and DeSantis and these states or whatever that are going against the mask mandates, but they have a higher death rate And now the school boards and the people are rebelling against. They're not actually rebelling against that. They're protecting themselves because you have a right to live. You have a right to the tree of life. You have a right to protect your people. Those are God-given rights. Those are through our Constitution, it gives us those rights. But they saying they have a right to a freedom of this and but your freedom should end where it impinges upon my freedom. You ain't have a freedom to get me sick or do these other things or whatever. So we'll see, what are the governors right that are requiring and making these mandates and trying to protect the system? Or are the people that are rebelling and the government that are... So the religious people, the spiritual people, we can see this being carried out in a national scale, a nationwide scale, worldwide scale. So God, we have to be able to see God in all things. In all of creation, God is at work. He's at work doing all these things. And if a person is in power and authority, God had placed him there to do evil or good. But you have to not rebel or try to get that person out, because only powers that be are those that are ordained to God. God allowed them or put them in that place. So to throw Aaron and Moses out of those positions, you're overthrowing a power that God had established, authority that God had established. To go against your parents, you are going against an authority that God had established. Now that it's up to that parent, that governor, that leader to make sure that Jesus Christ is his head, that God is his head, and he's doing the right thing. Let's continue to read here, and then we'll go back. It says, wherefore you must needs be subject not only for wrath's sake, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute for those that are God's ministers, attending continually to those things. Okay, so we see where all through the scripture we notice that God doesn't work through rebellion, but that God works through submission and obedience unto him. So we see where these people rebel against Korah and Korah. Listen at this as we keep a little bit further here. Verse 13. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us out of the land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou makest thyself altogether prince over us? Well, you say Egypt is a land flowing with milk and honey. You were slaves in Egypt. You didn't have these freedoms or whatever. Egypt brought you into bondage. We see where God preaches and teaches against going back into Egypt, which is a sign of going back into bondage or serving the world. That's misinformation, giving the wrong information. And you hear a lot these days talking about misinformation and getting who you're getting your information from. Who are you standing up with facts against or whatever? Are these true facts, or this is true teaching? That's why Jesus Christ, most of his warnings was to the people about the Pharisees or the Antichrist or the false teachers or whatever, because if you follow a false teacher, you following that which is wrong. It says the blind lead the blind, they all fall in the ditch. Because if you true in heart, if you seeking after God, you will find God. God's going to make himself available to you, and he's going to open up a path. But you need to be strong enough to do that which is right. Sometimes everybody else may not be around. You have to stand all by yourself for that which is right. You can't be passive and go along with that which is wrong. It's a walk of faith. It's a leap or a step of faith. Your faith, that's why I say you have to be born again. You have to be under the Spirit of God to do what's right. Because sometimes you will have to stand against everybody in the house, against your whole family, against everyone. But you're trusting and knowing that God's standing with you. So Moses and Aaron were standing here against these things. But they were speaking the wrong things, giving the people wrong information. These was 250 of the most powerful men it was. Just like in in Noah's day when God destroyed the world, it was a lot of men of renown, of strong people. And you notice that the churches now are talking about unity and the mega churches and all of the popular pastors, and they don't want to go against these popular pastors or popular preachers or whatever. But you may need to look at the scripture that may be the broad way that they're going on. See, because broad is the way to destruction. So the church that's listening at these things are on the wrong road, the wrong path they're going down. That's the broad way to destruction. But the false prophets and the false teachers are leading them down this way. Moreover, verse 14, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth with milk and honey, given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Will thou put these men's eyes out? We will not come up. So they refused to come listen at Moses. They was accusing him of leading them into darkness and not giving them inheritance or whatever. But they hadn't come up to the muster of God. In other words, they were wandering around in the wilderness and going through all these things because God was trying to build character in them. It was just a 3 days journey to the promised land from Egypt. It was a 3 day trip to Egypt, from Egypt to the promised land. But God says, unless they see battle, unless they go up against the Philistines, meet the Philistines, if he'd have took them through Philistine territory, that the people would have turned in battle. Well, there's a lot of us today, we're trying to get into the churches, or we're getting into these things, but what we're getting into is that we're not able to stand up against these religious or spiritual giants. There's a lot of teachings and things out there that we hadn't studied God's word, and we're not able to fight that battle. So that's why you're not resting in Christ. That's why you're not strong in Christ. That's why you're going, the character hadn't been developed. These men didn't have any character. God was building character in them. He wasn't trying to take them straight to the promised land, because that's why when he saves you, you don't just go straight to heaven, because there's still a lot in you that needs to be purged out. His word sanctifies you and purges this out. It sets you apart. There's a lot of wickedness. Just because you go into church and confess Christ, and if you're born again, that doesn't mean that you're cleansed or you're pure. God has to do something with you. He has to make you, because these people had rebellion built into them. Let's go. He says in 15th verse, and Moses was very wroth, upset with them, and said unto the Lord, respect not thou their offerings. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. And Moses said unto Korah, be thou and all thine company before the Lord, and thou and they and Aaron tomorrow, and take every man his censer, and put it incense in his censer, and bring before the Lord every man 250 censers, thou also and Aaron, each of you his censers. And they took every man his censers, and put fire in them, and laid incense thereon, and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Korah gathered all of the congregation against him, Moses, under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among the congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with the whole congregation? Herein again, as we should do, when God comes, Moses falls in prayer, in submission of prayer to God, and pleading on their behalf, pleading on the rest of the congregation's behalf, that these people are causing these problems. Are you going to destroy them all? You remember Abraham being a righteous man? He says, okay, these are worthy of sin. These are rebellious and sinful people here. But are you going to destroy the good with the wicked? So he's praying for them here. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation. I give you a chance. And speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders followed him. So He told Moses to warn them, and that's what God's preachers do, warn the congregation, warn those that are going against God, that are in disobedience, to come up away from around them. Now, in the New Testament era, in this dispensation, it's not a geographical coming away from around, because suppose it's your family that's in your own home. Suppose it's people on your job or whatever. It's a spiritual fellowship, but be not united or partaker of things that they are doing. You can understand that, what I'm saying? In conversation, in communications, a common fellowship with them, like the man that was in the Corinthian church that was going with his father's wife. And Paul said, you should, you know, separate yourself from a disfellowship, this guy, whatever. You can't make alliance or fellowship with these people. So, and he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touching nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins. So they get up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, on every side, and Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives, their sons, and their children. Now, Korah's sons wasn't among these. They came out from among them. And we see later on, I gave you that scripture last week where it says Korah's children wasn't among those. It says, and Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own hand. Now, Moses is telling them, God's going to do this. God's doing this. And it says, if these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord had not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing in the earth, open up her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertaineth unto them, and they all go down to the pit quickly, then ye shall understand. Then you shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder, and that was under them, and the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all of their goods, they and all that appertained to them, and the congregation perished from among, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up. And so they got away from round them. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed these 250 men that offered incense. God killed them just like he killed Nadab and Abihu. God did this. This was God's doing. And that's why I said there's a lot of things that's going on that God's doing these things. And I'll tell you about what Gamaliel says. Be careful what you fight against, because you may be fighting against the living God. But these 250 men, listen, this was a political rebellion here against leadership. He says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak to Eleazar, the son of Aaron, priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning, and scatter them thou the fire yonder, for they are hallowed. So all these people that had censers that had fire in them, that fire that God sent out melted everything that they had, those censers and things. But he said, I want to save these censers and everything as a memorial, so the people would see them and remember what happened here. That's why we have the Lord's Supper. We're remembering the Lord or whatever. So like I said, all of us, God has to purge things out of our body, out of our mental being, out of us that are wicked. There are things the preachers has to have purged out of everywhere. So the leaders are not perfect, but they're operating through and by God. So you have to respect that God's doing the work. And none of us have a right to tear the other one down or usurp that position or whatever. Your parents may not be the smartest people in the world, but they're doing what God had given them or whatever. your employer or whoever, the governor, the mayor, the president, whatever, may not be the smartest, but you shouldn't try to overthrow that and put yourself in position and say, I could do a better job. It's not about the job. It's about who had placed you in that position.
Do that job.
The senses of these sinners against their own souls, let them make them broad plates for a covering of the altar, for they offered them before the Lord, therefore they are hallowed, and they shall be a sign unto the children of Israel. And Eleazar the priest took the brass censer wherewith they were burnt and had offered, and they made broad plates for covering of the altars, to be a memorial unto the children of Israel, that no stranger which is not of the seed of Aaron come near to offer incense before the Lord, that he be not as Korah and as his company, as the Lord had said to him by the hand of Moses. Okay, so we see this where it went from political to these people was offering incense. These people, God hadn't chosen them, and God shown who he had chosen. And that's why I say, in a spiritual eye, are we able to see the one that God's choosing, and are we coming away from around the ones that's not of God? So be careful who you're following. You need to be reading and studying the word of God and pray it up, because a little leaven leavens the whole lump, and these people can gradually get you off the trail. Not then left from a political sense, it's easing into the religious specter. Let alone they wanted to be leaders or whatever, they shouldn't have had that incense or offered these things, because they say, well, look, this is Aaron's job. This is part of the priesthood job. You remember, Uzziah was the king, but he didn't have a right to offer up incense or offer these things on the offering. That was for the priest to do. Don't do another man's job. Make sure of your calling and where God had placed you in the body of Christ. That's pertinent. That's very important. And he had equipped you to do the job he had called you to do. Okay, verse 41. But on the morrow, the next day, all of the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, you've killed the people of the Lord. Now, hold on now. You remember what happened? He had sent fiery serpents among them one time for murmuring and complaining. Now the congregation is saying, you've killed the people of the Lord. Well, can you think that could Moses cause the ground to open up and swallow these people alive?
No.
Now the balance of the church, it says the congregation the next day, they're making accusations, and that's what I said, murmuring and complaining, going back at it's not good. So you don't want to be a murmurer and a complainer. And Paul talks about this in the book of 1 Corinthians about how many he destroyed in the wilderness for murmuring and complaining. These are God's words. This is God's law, that God doesn't like murmurers and complainers. Those are sins that has to be purged out of you. You can't. Those are sins of not just disobedience, but those are sins that you're committing with the mouth or the speaking of things. So you have to know, well, I was just saying, and this, well, it's no excuse for it. You shouldn't murmur or complain. If God gives you something to do, why are you whining or crying? When you tell your children something to do, you want them talking under their breath, going away, murmuring to you? Or complaining about, you give me this to do, or you give me too much to do, you're putting too much on me, or whatever. Okay. It says, and it came to pass when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. Okay, now God's coming across the congregation. You've seen this cloud. He's manifesting itself. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get back, I may consume them in a moment. And Moses fell on his knees again. Here go Moses praying again, because God's about to destroy them for murmuring and complaining. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation and make an atonement for them, a propitiation, a cover, something to appease God for they're doing something. God's going to send a pandemic among them to kill them. The plagues, just like COVID or just like botulism or anything. God sends storms and destruction unto these people. For there's wrath going out from the Lord, and the plague has begun. He had begun a plague among them that was killing them. And Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,000, not 250. Those that died from this plague of murmuring about what God had destroyed, those that had rebelled against Moses, was 14,700 beside them that had died in the matter of Korah. And Aaron, and returning to Moses unto the door of the tabernacle, and the plague was stayed. So we see here where these people were rebelling and got caught up in the punishment of God for rebelling. There's an acknowledgement of punishment. In Nehemiah 9:32-33 says, now therefore our God, the great and mighty and awesome God, who keeps covenant and loving kindness, do not let all the hardship seem insignificant before you, which has come upon us, our kings and our princes, our priests and our prophets, our fathers, and on all your people since the day of the kings of Assyria. Sometimes God's sending hardships and problems in the land. We see now, even with this plague, Governor Edwards was saying the other day, even in the midst of this pandemic, we have a storm coming down. A Category 4 hurricane is coming. But we have to not be able to crowd some of these shelters and things, because we still have to remember the pandemic and social distances. Yes. We have unemployment. A lot of the governmental service and other places lacking employees or people able to do the work because of all this. But these are the beginnings of great sorrows and tribulations. But without murmuring and complaining and going against different governments, we see, I don't know how many people are read up on the issue with what's going on in Afghanistan or whatever, and ending that war or battle. But be careful on commenting on things and saying things and taking sides that you don't understand what is going on and why it's going on. It looks bad. All of these things look bad. I heard yesterday, I think it was, that that tracked down the people of ISIS who had did this bombing the other day or whatever and kill them or whatever. And they're going in with drones and things or whatever. But you can see a political mess on the horizon. It has religious undercurrents. But in this nation, we've been talking for many a year, we need to be studying and seeing where we stand, and some matter staying out of it, not taking sides or not saying anything, because of all these 14 people that died and that saying Moses had did this, I wonder how many of them was thinking, did Moses really do this? How many of your family was on the sides of this murmuring and going back saying this? Because it takes people gathering around the family table or sitting around at television time or whatever, commenting and talking about these things to stir up a crowd. That's what sedition is. That's stirring up these people to do the wrong thing or whatever. And then when a person hear a lot that this is popular, through Twitter and social media and Facebook and all this. Everybody's saying this, and then people rise up to please people of what they're saying or whatever. They take an action on it, and you become part of that. Are you acknowledging that we are wrong, and I understand the problems and the pressure, the punishment that you are bringing in on us, that it is just and is right, but give me the strength to purge and cleanse myself and to give me a repenting spirit, a spirit to turn away from my wrongdoings and the things I have done. Listen to Daniel. Now, you remember Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel did a lot of these things, but he wasn't a self-righteous person. Listen to his prayer right before they were released from captivity, the 70 years that. So he knew to pray this prayer because Jeremiah had prophesied that they would be in captivity 70 years. And Daniel had read that and knew of that prophecy. But look what he's praying to God about some of this and what they did. Daniel, the 9th chapter, the 10th, 11th, and 14th verses says, "And we have not obeyed, the voice of the Lord our God by walking in his laws which he has set before us through his servants the prophets. Yes, all of Israel has transgressed your law, even turning aside, not obeying your voice. So the curse hath been poured out on us, and the oath which is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him." This is Daniel. And you remember they said, God says, even if Moses, Noah, and Daniel were there, he wouldn't forgive the other people's sin. This is Daniel confessed that he was part of those that had sinned. As the people, we have sinned. We have transgressed God. So he's not saying that he's holier than thou and that this person and blaming someone in particular. He says, we have. Are we praying to God? Did we pray this morning? What was our prayer this morning? What was your prayer this morning? Have we been praying about the hurricane? Have we been praying for one another? Have we been praying for our leaders? And acknowledging the wrong and asking God to show you the error of your ways because they are there. I can't blame my cousin. I can't blame my nephew. I can't blame my wife. I can't blame my sisters or brothers. I have to see my sin. I'm asking God to help me to pull this boat out of this beam out of my eyes. Because we're all full of rebellion. Because we've all disobeyed God, and that's transgression, that's sorcery, that's witchcraft. Samuel told Saul, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. It falls under these categories. Let me go through a couple of scriptures that I had picked out to tell you about rebellion going through these things. I've already did Romans, the first chapter. Let's do Romans 16 and 17. Like I said, we need to learn why or what's going on in our lives. And if we could nip some of these things in the bud, God would help us to see other things more clearly. You remember I said he purges you and he prunes you. Are you abstaining or not doing these things? Because it's going to cause a rub with the people that God has in your life. In other words, that the people that you talk to on the phone, the people that come to your house or whatever, God's working in your life, but are you winning the battles day by day? Or are you losing the battles day by day because you can't even see the battle? That's what Korah says. Are you going to close these men's eyes? No. Moses didn't close their eyes. The God of this world, it says Satan had blinded the eyes of those that didn't believe. He had darkened it, and it's going to continue to get darker. But if you are the God's ministers, God's preaching and teaching, you're coming to the light. It gets lighter each day. It gets brighter each day. you have an ever-increasing hope. You have ever-increasing faith. You have ever-increasing joy. And it gives you a peace. All those things are equipping you for the battle. Romans 16 and 17 says, "Now I beseech you, brother, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them." What are the things that these people are saying or doing? Do you realize how they're creating or causing this division? Or through your vain knowledge that you just think you know that it's got to be something blatant? But do you know it's in the casual conversations? It's the little foxes that destroy the vines. It's the little things in your life that you're not overcoming in your day-to-day life. Some things happened this weekend. I kind of let them happen. I didn't say much. I've been praying on them. I prayed on them or whatever. In a way, they were setbacks. In a way, it didn't turn out the way I wanted it to turn out. But I've been praying to God to give me understanding and to help these things work together for good. So I would know, because it's people close to me. It's people within my family. It's people that I know good, that you just have to allow these things to evolve and for God to handle. Notice that Moses didn't do anything, that all Moses did was pray and talk to God, and God did the destroying, God did the taking away. You don't want to do those things. You don't want to be God's executioner. God has executioners out, but you need to avoid and know these things, know these conversations that you're getting caught up in. 1 Corinthians 3 and 3. 1 Corinthians 3 and 3. It says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able." Don't we need to get past the baby stage, past the carnal stage? Paul says, "I've been giving you milk." In other words, I keep going over these little things because I can't progress to the stronger things. Because milk, if you can't assimilate milk, if you can't digest milk, how are you going to digest meat? You know, a baby's on a bottle for months and months. A baby goes through a thing where you, like my wife was saying about my granddaughter, she's been past the bird feeding stage, you know, where the mama takes the food, chew it up, and when they introduce the table food into it, they kind of chew the food or pound the food so the baby can eat it without choking on it. Are we choking on the word of God, or we blinded to the word of God because maybe we seeking positions or places or things deeper than where we are at, and we're not able to assimilate them? So these things are keeping us blinded because we don't understand. We don't have the knowledge and the wisdom. God hadn't opened our understanding to that. But you go, "Oh, that's a great preaching. That's good preaching," or whatever. But your life hadn't changed any. You don't feel the battle that you're in. You don't feel that you need God. You don't feel that, "Lord, how weak, how dependent I am upon you, because all this is going on around me. I feel this battle around me." If you're not feeling it every day, if you're not feeling from course to course everything that you have to pray to God and ask him to get you through that, that you're not looking at man, even though you're working through the hand of man. This works through individuals. My daughter was talking about that last night, and she was going through some things. She'd been going through a lot of things, and yes, Wednesday I stopped and talked with her, whatever, but it should be almost to the point where some of this stuff seems to be look like it's about to overwhelm you, and that it's causing you to turn to God, causing you to talk to God and pray to God and seek God. You should be increasing in your want and need of God, desiring to be taught more. That should be the first thing you do, is wanting more Bible study, wanting more preaching or teaching or whatever. But if you more of the things of the world appealing to you, there's a problem. That you need to be further equipped, because I'm fighting some battles here. I feel that I can't overcome. I can't do that. I need some strength from, I need extra strength. I can't do this in my own power. The rebellion, because those are those, listen to what he says. He says, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there's among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men's? In other words, your everyday life, you're striving with someone. You remember I said a servant of God mustn't strive. You mustn't be involved in strife. You mustn't be envious. All of these things has to be purged out of you. So there's a lack Paul can't really teach to people, because they're still carnal. They're not spiritual. You're not doing things to change you from what you used to be to what you should be, a new creation in Christ Jesus. So Paul was getting upset with them, just like Jesus said. You remember Jesus says, how long I must put up with you, ye of little faith? Because I don't see a hungering and thirsting for righteousness. I don't see this drive, this thing that God's pulling you, that you have to have more of him, that you, a zeal for God, that's not there. Something is lacking. That's how they could tell it with Apollos when he was preaching. They say something is lacking. There's a spiritual part. That's why they had all the gifts of the Spirit in the church at Corinth. But it says, are you yet carnal? Because their actions was not of God. Their actions was actions that were not spiritual actions. Let's look at Galatians. Galatians, the fifth chapter. We talk about the works of the flesh in Galatians, the fifth chapter. The 18th verse says, But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. These are works, are actions, are things that you're doing. Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness. And that's where we can see it in the dress, in the thing I was telling you the other day about people bearing all, and the sexual overtones and the way people are dressed nowadays, and what's on television and the appearance, the lasciviousness causing others to lust after you. Of causing lust, it says idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, immolation, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies. All of these are groups of things that you are doing, that you have to take heed to yourself, that you're causing other people. You remember the insurrection on January 6th? You're causing other people to rise up against authority. Just like friends, if you cause other people to rise up against their parents, you've committed sedition. You've drawn that person away from the Lord. You've caused that person to do this. How many people, and that's why I say I will grow children. See, that's why I say the problem is with the 20, 30, and 40-year-old children and the 50-year-old children of the elderly parents, because these are the ones should be vitally functioning and working in the church and bringing the church to a point where the church is gathering together strength and the world is honoring or looking at the church. But the church has become as the world. The church is full of the world, and He said in the latter days he was going to pour out his spirits upon all flesh, and then our sons and daughters shall dream dreams and have visions and prophesy and all this. But is this happening? Or do you hear them really calling on the name of the Lord or doing the work of the Lord? Warnings against these things, warning against rebellion. 1 Samuel 12:15. He says, but if you do not listen to the Lord's voice, but rebel against his command, then the hand of the Lord will be against you to punish you as it was against your fathers. So if you're not obeying his commandments, I keep trying to harp on to you, you must obey the word of God. But it can't be the letter of the law, because mercy has to be involved. That mercy comes in where grace is. Grace and mercy. You have to be a merciful individual. See, these people were looking at the letter of the law. But when Jesus Christ comes in, he comes in to bring grace and mercy. This is not anything that is legalistic. In other words, it gives you a heart of flesh. It gives you a heart. You're able to love other people. You're able to correct people in love. You're able to resist people in love. Are we understanding what it is to the commandments? It's like the Pharisees. They were strict legalists, but he says our righteousness has to exceed that of the Pharisees. In other words, it can't be just a learned religion. In other words, knowing what the word of God says or whatever. Well, it will help you, whatever, but you have to understand it. It has to be alive in your life. It has to be the working of the Spirit in your life. That he has to have it wrote on your heart. Yes. That way, when someone's doing something, they may be coming from a religious perspective, but it's an evil surmising in what they're doing. It's not through the motivation or the intent is wrong. So you can do good, and you've done good works. I'm taking you to the doctor. I've fed you. We've cast out devils in your name. And the churches are doing all this. You notice the long lines at the churches. They're continually giving away boxes. They continue. They have all the drives and everything. They're doing good works. But good works can't save you, because the motivation may be wrong. You're not born again. So now that action is like a bribe. Someone does something good for you, but the motivation and the intent wrong. That's why the Bible talks against quick riches, you know, like gambling and all these other things. You know, the sports betting and come to Louisiana or whatever, and they, all these channels talking about the bet. It's all about money or whatever, but the motivation is wrong. The lining is falling out of the nation, because we have the churches putting their stamp on godliness is gain in their teaching covetousness. I remember one time you were talking to me about a preacher. It's a Louisiana preacher or whatever, was bragging about how he had a gas pump and how he had all his gas and all of that. He said, well, maybe he need to help give some of his members the gas or whatever. You know, you can't park your car anywhere on his lot. If you have to have the newer cars park up here, all of these or whatever. See, in other words, church status or church membership, they're wearing it as a badge now. You see what I'm saying? They're belonging to the church, and that's where all the business is at in the church. So the church have been blinded. They're Laodiceans. They have need of nothing, because what? Christ is outside knocking on the church door saying, but your heart's not in it. I'm not in the church. I'm not motivating you. You are blind. You're spiritually blinded. You're in rebellion against me because you're naked and wretched and poor and don't know it. Because you've rebelled against me. Jeremiah 12:17 says, but if any nation will not listen and obey, I will completely uproot and destroy that nation, says the Lord. Isn't this one of those nations? So according to God's word, this nation has to be what? Uprooted. Right? See, because all of the nations, all of the kingdoms has to become the kingdoms of God. And that's why we won't be looking at this from a national perspective. We would be looking at it from a religious perspective. Because it's not the world is not structurally sound. The kingdom of God is rearing up and it's growing. So when you obey God, you're not like they. I heard a few preachers this week talking about Jesus was a rebel or whatever. He wasn't. He would have been transgressing God's law. He wasn't a rebel. It's just that Jesus Christ obeyed God, and it was against man's understanding of who God was and what God is. That's why Paul, he was obedient to the chief priest when they say you rail against God's high priest, Paul. And Paul said, I knew not it was God's high priest, because it is written, thou shalt not curse the ruler of thine people. But what happened, the false priest was out of line. The priest was out of line because he had commanded to smite Paul against what the law had said. He had smitten him illegally. That's why when God's children do things illegally or not, that's not the spirit of God, then you are none of his. You of your father, the devil. You shouldn't have those characteristics. That's why I say if hatred and variance in you, if it says no sin shall enter into the kingdom of God, that means you have been and had to stop sinning. No liars, no cowards, none of this is going to enter into the kingdom of God. So you have to be then pull all of this off and put Christ on. Because rebellious people would overthrow the leadership. You would end up trying to overthrow the kingdom of heaven because you're not an obedient person. So God has to purge all of these things out of you. You can't be in disobedience and be a child of God that's in good standing. God has to purge this out of you. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, Lord God, here and again, feeling as we've fallen short and not able to get your word over, Lord God, as we would want it to get over and strengthen those, but we depending on your spirit, Lord God, to teach us, to teach man, Lord God, to strengthen us. We're but earthly vessels, Lord God, with your precious spirit hid within us, Lord God. And let those words go to the hearts and the understanding of the hearers, Lord God, where it would work to empower them to overcome, Lord God. It would power them, Lord God, to be obedient unto your word and grow in the grace and knowledge and understanding. Because it is only you, Lord God, that can make this word alive and produce the fruit and the growth and the life. I am one who has planted the word of God in your people, Lord God. Hopefully the spirit and other things water that word, Lord God. But you give it the increase. You produce the fruit, Lord God. You bring it forth and you purge it and you set apart, Lord God. Consecrate your people unto you, Lord God. Strengthen them during this time, Lord God. Let us not be disobedient unto your commands, Lord God, that we would be in rebellion against you, Lord God, but that we would be in submission unto you and obedient to your word, Lord God, and walk as in ways of pleasing you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.